Are you an athlete, athlete in business, professional helping athletes, or an entrepreneur? Join the Athletes Making Moves course, which launched March 21st of this year, helping athletes and business owners like you find and reshape their identity for success, uncover their purpose, understand the building blocks of business, and begin creating and implementing a legacy that will pay dividends for generations to come. And guess what? A portion of the proceeds are being donated to the Alzheimer's Association in the honor of my late grandmother, Glovine Smith, as a token and appreciation of her love and investment into my life. What are you waiting for? It's time to make moves. So register now at athletesmakingmoves.com and select the course tab to get started. See you soon. Ciao.
Welcome to What Are You Sporting About Podcast, a podcast about business, employment, sports, and entertainment to help educate, support, and guide you to your next level. Here's your host, attorney Savania DeBarros.
Hello, everybody. I am Savania DeBarros, the protector of athletes and the founder and principal attorney of the S.L. DeBarros Law Firm, where I represent athletes and business owners. I am so excited to talk with you guys today because it's right on the heels of me embarking on a lifelong dream of mine. And so I definitely want to encourage you to follow through with the dreams that you have, and we are going to dive into that. But before I do, I want to ask you a question, and I'm also going to invite you to work with me at the end of this video. But I do want to know if you are an athlete, athlete in business, or professional helping athletes. I mean, are you a regular entrepreneur? Go ahead and drop that into the comments if you are watching live. If you are listening to this or watching later on a different platform, still let us know who you are and where you are at. If you are in need of helping, you want support to reshape your identity so you understand how to navigate the purpose that is in your life, or you want to learn how to build a proper and protectable business, hey, I want you to join me for the Athletes Making Moves course. So that launched this past March 21st, where we are helping individuals to create beautiful businesses, successful businesses, but those that also have protection built in. So we will talk about that a little bit later on how you can sign up. All right, guys. So here we are. I am 2 days away from engaging in a lifelong dream. So here's one thing I want to ask you. And even if you can't share this with me, I want you to just, you know, say this to yourself, like take note of this for yourself. What were the dreams that you had for yourself or for your life when you were a child? What were the dreams that you had for yourself, for your life when you were a child? I think it's important for us to remember that, and especially if we have not followed through with those dreams, we should ask ourselves, is there something that is lingering that I haven't done that I really need to do? I want you to really ask yourself that. One thing I've recognized in children are so unique in the sense that they are fearless. They're not afraid to try anything, do anything. They will go for the jugular, whatever it is, whatever it takes, they do it. They don't worry about who says this, who says that. Here's an example with my son, especially Jesus, when he started walking and running, this boy would literally jump off of the arms of the couches. I mean, all kinds of things. And I'm looking at him and I'm holding my breath because I don't want to scare him and instill fear into him. But he was scaring me and making me nervous because I said, oh my gosh, I don't want my son to break a limb or to do something that is gonna, you know, really put him in a hospital, create a major injury. But I recognize as a parent, certain things that he would do at home, I didn't want to instill my level of fear inside of him. Right. So there are some things that I won't let him do just for the sake of knowing you will really hurt yourself, like big time, right? But I know how important it is for us to allow our children to dream, that creative nature of who we are, allowing them to dream, allowing them to try things out, allowing them sometimes to get hurt, to learn that lesson that, hey, it's not safe to do this or to do that, right? But what is the other course of action that I could take that may be a safer route? And so I've watched my son develop in ways I would like to say that I was able to do and not be afraid of doing it, but I really feel like my son is way more fearless than I was even as a child. But the good thing of being fearless is that you set these amazing dreams for yourself and no one can tell you that that's wrong. When you are a child, you are free to dream and believe whatever you want to, and no one looks at you crazy, right? Hi, Mina, that has joined us. She says she's the founder of the Athlete Emergency Room. That's amazing. Good to meet you, and good to meet you as well. So I want you to think about that. What dreams that you have for yourself as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, where you were fearless, you had all the courage in the world to know that this was something that you wanted to do, that was a part of you, your soul. That's you. Here's an example I'm going to give you guys about me. A lot of you already know my story. I've always wanted to be an attorney. In fact, I was a toddler when I stated that I wanted to be an attorney. I was 4 years old. I always knew that that was what I wanted to do. My dream has shifted and changed in the way of how I became an attorney and what type of law I practiced, but I still accomplished that dream. It stayed with me the entire time. So there was something I was doing all the way up through the years to make sure I accomplished that dream. I don't know if I would be happy had I not. For me, that was that. I wanted to be a writer. In high school, I would write. I still have them, literally like my own little books, but they're in class folders. I would write poetry. And that was a way for me to really give myself therapeutic healing for some of the adversity that I went through during that stage of my life. But I always knew I wanted to be a writer. So when it was time for me to prepare for college, I knew that being a lawyer was there, but I also wanted to be a journalist and a writer. And I remember talking to my mom and saying like, hey, I want to major in all these things. She's like, when do you plan to graduate college then? Because you're going to be in college for a long time. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'll just go and major in political science and, you know, get into law school. So I always wanted to be a journalist, always wanted to be a writer. And that has not left me. Hindsight, I think instinctively when there are emotions connected to the dream and the purpose that we have, in some way, in some respect, we tend to do that thing, maybe directly or in variation. But there are some people who completely divert away from what it was that they said that they wanted as a child, right? Some people, as you get older, some people may say to you, well, it was okay for you to dream when you were 5, 10, 12, or whatever, but now it's time for you to get realistic. Why do your dreams, why is it that your dreams cannot be realistic? And maybe you're not talking to the right person, and maybe you shouldn't be sharing everything that you desire to do with folks, because when people are limited in their own beliefs and in what they believe they can achieve, it's impossible for them to understand the goals that you have in mind for yourself. And so what ends up happening is you borrow that limiting belief from that person and you root it into your life. And then you feel as though you cannot achieve that thing that your heart has been set on the entire time. So here's an example for me. Outside of just wanting to be a writer and a journalist and wanting to major into that in some way, shape or form in college, along with political science and some other stuff, I wanted to study abroad. When I was in college, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because my parents didn't have the finances. And so here we are, not necessarily limiting belief, but limiting resource. And prior to me even getting to college, I was invited to Australia twice to compete in track and field. I was invited to London to compete as a competitive cheerleader twice. I could not do those things because of limited resources. And so wanting to live abroad and be abroad was something that had always been a part of who I am. Loving culture, meeting new people, speaking different languages, just the sheer fact of the ability to communicate with different people was fascinating to me, right? It didn't matter the racial makeup or the cultural difference between myself and another person. That was just something that I always loved. So fast forward from college, wanting to study abroad, I get to law school, I still want to study abroad. Do you know what the situation is? Limited resources again, but this time, now, based on what I said to you before about people and their own limiting beliefs, and this is not to, you know, talk down and talk bad about anyone, but I remember my my stepdad saying like, hey, you shouldn't go and study law in this country because you don't know these people. It scared me. And so what I did was I ended up borrowing his limited beliefs, his limited mindset on that particular issue. And it made me kind of say, all right, well, I need to just study law in America. I wanted to study law in England because that's where the American justice system created their laws from, was from England. Stephanie Coakley has joined us, and she says that one of my favorite quotes, there are two types of people who tell you cannot make a difference in this world, those who are afraid to try and those who are afraid that you will succeed. And that comes from Ray Goforth. I hope I said that right. Goforth. You are so right, and I totally agree with that. Sometimes I know, especially so, me using my dad as an example, I know he loves me and I know he cares for me. It's definitely not a situation of him not wanting me to succeed, but it is for me back then, it was him possibly being too afraid to even consider that as a possibility because maybe he hadn't considered those things for himself. And then you have to look at your surroundings too and the people who are giving you particular advice or information. What has the environment been that they grew up in? What were the beliefs that were set in their household that they grew up in? And so sometimes people are only confined to that circle of information where it's so restrictive for anyone who dreams outside of that, right? Susie Miner says, good morning. Hi, Susie. I'm glad that you could join me this morning. But I wanna just say to you guys, right, we have to recognize whether we are borrowing someone else's beliefs and limitations or if we are really going with our own heart, our own purpose, our own decisions. Because although I wanted to do those things years ago, now I'm doing it. I always say that I caught the travel bug with my grandmother, who's passed now. But we would travel over the summer, but we would only go to different places around the nation here in the U.S. But me visiting abroad and living abroad was something that had never left me. When I met my husband, before we were even married, we started traveling abroad. We were going all sorts of places. And at this point, I want to say I probably have visited somewhere close to either 12 or 13 countries. In a few days, I will be leaving again and going to Portugal. And for a few weeks, I'll be visiting Greece for the first time. And I will be staying there for 2 weeks. And I'm going to go back to Portugal. I'm going to live there for 3 months. I'm super excited about it because when you have something in you and you haven't, how the old folks say, you haven't scratched that itch, it keeps coming up. It keeps reintroducing itself to you in some shape or form. And here's something that dreams do as well. Dreams are like snowballs. You get the notion and that emotion that's attached to it. And when you don't scratch it, you don't listen to it, it grows and it grows and it grows. Because here's the thing for me. Initially, I only wanted to probably stay in Portugal for like maybe a week or two, maybe 30 days. And now it has expanded. And I'm looking at it from, I think I might actually move to Portugal. And I've been there multiple times. Like, I love this place. The first time I ever visited there, I felt like I was coming back home, right? I already knew that that was somewhere where I wanted to be. But I want to share something with you guys, because there is a study that I recently found on dreams and following your dreams. And I thought that this was pretty interesting. So there was a study that surveyed about 2,000 adults. 80% of them, 78% to be exact, said that they didn't end up following through with their dreams or the career path that they had set out for themselves, you know, adolescent age, 6 years old or whatever. But for those who were, who did follow their dreams, that was about 22% of the adults. And they are excessively happy. They were satisfied with their career choice or their job choice. It's such a small percentage of individuals who end up following their dreams. And so I want to ask you today, have you put your dreams on a shelf because of what other people have said about them or about their idea of belief of whether you can accomplish those things? Have you set your dreams on the shelf for the sheer fact that life just happened and you've woken up 20, 30 years later and are looking around like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with myself? Not too long ago, there was a young lady in a networking group that I had an opportunity to talk with. And she had said that her children were all grown. I want to say that she had worked at a place and had retired. But anyway, she ended up, you know, empty nester and didn't know what to do with herself. And she said, I don't have any friends. Like, all of my friends are parents of my children's friends. Or ex-coworkers. She was like, I don't have any real friends. I really don't have a life. Right? And my first question was, what did you want to do when you were a child? And she told me what it was. I said, well, maybe it's time for you to start doing that so that you can find your own happiness. You can start to connect with people who share the same desires and excitement around that thing. I don't want you guys to lock your dreams in a box. And I'm almost kind of like catching chills just saying that. I don't want you to drop your dreams into a box and lock it. I don't want you to go and sit it on a shelf. I want you to really think about those dreams when you were a child. And it's okay if your dreams have shifted and changed over time. It is okay if that is the truth for you. But I want to caution you, have your dreams shifted and changed for you and the desires that you have for yourself, or has it shifted and changed for someone else? Have you completely left that idea that you had a long time ago because of someone else? And if you have, I encourage you to go back and reassess whether you're happy with that decision. And if you are, cool. But if you're not, now is the time for you to find out who that younger person was, who you were as that younger person. Find the courage to be fearless as you were back when you were dreaming and had the freedom to dream without limitation, and then step into that. I love the fact that I, in some respect, I've been able to follow all of my dreams. And at points of my life, I didn't even know that I was doing it. For instance, wanting to be a writer. I've been writing all of my life. One of my favorite courses in college was creative writing. And now I am a four-time published author, two-time best-selling author, right? I'm an attorney. I knew that was a dream because that's what I wanted to do straight out the gate. But there are so many other things that in my soul I wanted to do, and I couldn't be completely happy until I scratched that itch. Now, the latter part of that is having the ability to live abroad, having the ability to really live amongst a different culture of people who I find myself so keenly connected to for some reason. But I know that some things work out for a reason, because I'm able to take my son, who I didn't have a child back then, but now I'm able to give him something different that I didn't have in my childhood. Right? So there are some positives to waiting. But if you're waiting, I just want you to wait on your own accord and not based on someone else's interjections into your life. All right, guys. Stephanie says that people who say it can't be done should not interrupt those who are doing it. That, oof, deep. That's real. That is real. And Stephanie also says, nope, she hasn't put her dreams on the shelf. I know that's the truth. Oh, Susie says, awesome job and congratulations. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm super pumped about this. So you guys always know I'm going to bring the real to you. I'm always up for encouraging and inspiring you to do what it is that you really, really want to do. Do not allow other people's limiting ideas, beliefs to stop your show. If there's a reason why you need to table something or come back to it later, that is fine. But make sure you are following your own dreams, because you want to be happy. There's no amount of money in this world that can buy you happiness. So one of the key ways to create the happiness that you want is to make sure that you do what you love and love what you do. And that means that you need to follow your heart's desire, your dream. And here's my last point. As children and being fearless enough to dream, I also feel like it's a connection to the divine universe, the Almighty, who gives us that instinct purpose. So if you are in the process of doing something, take a temperature check on that. Like, are you happy doing that? Because if not, it might not be the purpose that God gave to you. So reevaluate your life and what it is that you're doing. Are you happy now? Are you just content? Because that's two different things. You can be content and not really happy, but you don't want to wake up years later, like the example I gave you from the woman that I met, and said she just didn't know what to do. She wasn't really happy. She was just content. She had friends that really weren't her friends, really didn't have anything to do. So I do want to encourage you to don't put your dreams on a shelf. Are you an athlete in business, or a professional helping athletes? I want you to join the Athletes Making Moves course, which has launched March 21st, 2020. Helping athletes find and reshape their identity, understand business and its building blocks, and begin creating and implementing legacy planning. A portion of the proceeds are being donated to the Alzheimer's Association in the honor of my late grandmother, my best friend, AKA my baby, Glovine Smith, as a token and appreciation of her love and investment into my life. Guys, I'm Savannah Burrows, a protector of athletes. And as always, it is my sincere pleasure to educate you, motivate you, and inspire you to your very next level. Ciao.
For joining us this week on What Are You Sporting About podcast. Make sure to visit our website, prosportlawyer.com, where you can subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever your favorite platform is, so you'll never miss a show. And while you're at it, if you found value in the show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes or iHeartRadio. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. If you like the show, you might want to check out our book, What Are You Sporting About? Attorney Savannah DeBarros is available for private consulting at sldebarros.com. And remember, we're here to educate, support, and guide you in your journey to success, because we're all sporting about something.